This class is entitled, That Sermon Paul Preached About Trophimus. Now, you think about Paul's sermons recorded in the Scriptures, that one may not come to mind. You think about Paul's sermon to the Philippian jailer, Acts 16. Paul's sermon on Mars Hill, Acts 17. Paul's sermon to the elders at Ephesus, or from Ephesus at Miletus, Acts 20. Paul's sermon before the crowd in Jerusalem that was so mad at him, Acts 21. His sermon before the Sanhedrin defending his change from Judaism to Christianity, Acts 22. His sermon before Felix and Agrippa in Acts 26. Those are his famous sermons, but none of them mention Trophimus. But notice this title is the sermon, that sermon Paul preached about Trophimus, not to Trophimus. So this was a sermon that only had 8 words in it. It's found in 2 Timothy 4:20, where he says, but, the last part, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. 8 words, but with the Bible, 8 words can teach a lot. And with Paul saying that about his friend Trophimus, he teaches 7 lessons in 8 words. And those 7 lessons will be the basis of our study this morning, starting with that passage, 2 Timothy 4:20, but we'll include a number of related passages that have to do with sickness. Let's start with this idea, this point. Good men can have bad health. There is a group of people who believes that if you become a Christian, then all your problems go away. Your anxiety's all gone. Your health issues all gone. Sometimes that's called the health and wealth gospel. It's usually tied to those who believe in miraculous healing in the present age, but the Bible doesn't teach that. But the Bible teaches that a good person can have ill health. You can see that in the Scriptures. Let me just go through some verses with you mentally. What about Lazarus? John 11, 2 and 3, his sister sent to Jesus and said, he whom thou lovest is sick. What about Acts 9, 36 through 39, where you have a woman with 2 names, Dorcas or Tabitha, and she was sick and died. But she was a good person, but she got sick. What about Epaphroditus that's mentioned in Philippians 2, 25 to 30? Epaphroditus was the minister or the preacher of the Philippian church. But he had been away on a journey with Paul and he got sick. And he was concerned, it's interesting, Epaphroditus was concerned because the church back home heard that he was sick. It doesn't say he was concerned for his own health. But Paul says in that context that he's gotten better, that the Lord was merciful to him, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Imagine Paul dealing with the challenges that he had, plus his co-worker died on the mission field. So the Lord was merciful to him. Epaphroditus recovered. But Paul said that he was sick nigh unto death. He was very sick. But he was a good man. A couple of other passages not on the screen. What about Paul himself? We would have to admit that Paul was a good man, a strong Christian. But he had a thorn in the flesh, which he besought the Lord thrice to remove, and the Lord chose not to do that. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 9. And what about Timothy, his own son in the faith, who had something physical wrong with him, and he was instructed by Paul to take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. 1 Timothy 5:23. And that passage sometimes used by those who want to imbibe a little alcohol as a proof text that you can drink a little. That's not what that text says. It never said that. In the first place, it wouldn't even be in the Bible if it was permissible for Christians to drink a little bit, because Paul had to tell Timothy to drink wine for his stomach's sake. It wasn't something he was already doing. Two, it says, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Not drink, not enjoy, not imbibe, take like medicine. Because the last part says, for thy stomach's sake. It's for a medicine. There is a lot of difference in drinking socially or drinking to forget your, to self-medicate your problems or challenges in life in that and taking medicine that a doctor has prescribed for you. And remember, they lived in the pre-pharmaceutical days when they didn't have a pill for everything. They took natural remedies, and something in the wine that Paul instructed Timothy to take was of medicinal value to him. It's a far cry from a proof text that it's okay to go to the bar with your friends, isn't it? But that's a little bit of an aside. It shows that Timothy, who was a good man, had a physical problem that needed medicine. So now let's think about a good, let's think about why people get sick. Let me spend just a minute on that. In the Garden of Eden, if there had been no sin, there would have been no sickness, and there would have been no death. Romans 5:12 says that death came because of sin, and death has passed upon all men because all have sinned. Now, sickness is in the same ballpark. It leads to death. So it entered the world in the same door that death came in, and that is because man chose to rebel against God. And sickness is not limited to any demographic. You know, you could separate the Christian demographic from the worldly demographic, or you could divide the world in a lot of different ways, but sickness happens in Europe and Africa and America and Iceland, all over the world. It happens to men, women, and children. It happens to those who are rich and those who are poor, those who are kings and those who are paupers. It happens in the hot climates of the world and the cold climates of the world. Sickness is universal. And man can be sick from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. There are so many parts to the body, and something can go wrong with any one of them. They can be diseased or they can be injured. And you really think about how fearfully and wonderfully we've been made, Psalm 139:14, that our bodies can work, this magnificent machine that we are, physically speaking, can work not just for a year or a decade, up to a century. One man said it's marvelous that a 1,000-stringed instrument can stay in tune so long. You think about all the systems of the body. God made us wonderfully, but He did not make us to last, did not make our bodies to last forever. And sickness is a part of that deteriorating process mentioned in 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 5, verse 1. But the Bible says that death, and therefore sickness, will one day die. If you thought about death will die, that's Revelation 20:14. Death will be cast into the lake of fire. There won't be any more death because death will be burned up. After Jesus comes, the world, this world is gone and we go to the next world. No sickness there. We will outlive death. That's true in two senses. You will outlive your own death because when you die, you're a part of you, really the essence of you and me will continue to live. That's Ecclesiastes 12:1-7. The body goes back to the dust from which is made, but we go to be with God. So there are another part of us that we don't see, the most important part. So we will outlive our own death, but we also will outlive death itself because we will live on into eternity where there will be no death. Death will be gone. All right, so that is a little bit of the background of why there's sickness in the world, and it shows that it's not no demographic or individual is exempt from it. Good men can suffer bad health. That last verse is one I did not mention. And let me bring that into the equation briefly, because not only is it the case that Christians are not exempt from ill health, Sometimes we suffer because we are Christians. You think about it, Trophimus here. Trophimus got sick on a mission trip. Missionaries will tell you that sickness is a part of mission efforts. Everybody has a story. You know, you ask any missionary, have you ever been sick? And he'll smile and he'll say, let me tell you, I've not done very much mission work, but I remember being sick in South America. I think I drank the water or ate something that disagreed with me, and I couldn't work for 2 or 3 days. I was in the bed sick. Every missionary experiences that. Now, the reasons for that are logical. One thing, when you go to a different culture and a different part of the world, you're exposed to germs that you have not built up any immunity to. Two, you are eating foods that you're not used to digesting, and that can lead to sickness. Three, often you're exhausted and your body's not able to fight off what it might normally be able to fight off. So there are some reasons why missionaries get sick. Here's Trophimus on a mission trip with Paul, and he gets sick. That's to be expected. And that would not have happened to him, perhaps, if he had been at home with his family in his normal routine, but because he was with Paul. But not only that, 2 Corinthians 11:23-28, Paul enumerates the many perils that his Christian life had brought him. He'd been stoned, he'd been left for dead, he had 9 a day, he'd been in the deep, and all that. Well, had you ever thought about, it wasn't just Paul suffering those things? Trophimus was on some of those journeys with Paul. In perils of robbers, and perils of his own countrymen, and perils in the cities, and perils in the wilderness, and heat and cold, and hunger and thirst. All those things Paul suffered, his companions were suffering with him. They might not have got arrested and beaten and stoned as he did, or as often as he did, but they certainly suffered with the weather and the difficulties that were brought on them because they were serving Christ, carrying the gospel to the world. And that may happen to us. We may be sick because of our service to God. We may be persecuted because of our service to God. Christians, a good man can have ill health. But let's think about a second point here. Saints in Caesar's household, we mentioned last week, Philippians 4:22. That's an unusual thought that there could be Christians living in the home of such a wicked man as Caesar. But here's another incongruous thought. A sick man in Paul's camp. Why is that unusual? Well, here's Paul, who is filled with the Spirit, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has the ability to lay hands on the sick and they get better. Now, we know that because Acts 14:9-10, when he was in Lystra, there was a crippled man who had been impotent in his feet from his birth. He had never walked. And Paul commanded him by the power of God through him to arise and walk. And he jumped up. He leapt up. And the people thought Paul and his group were gods. And he had to try to convince them not to worship him. But the point is, he healed a crippled man. In Acts 19:11-20, one of the most unusual verses in Acts, it says that they would take handkerchiefs or aprons from Paul's body and take them to a sick person that special miracles, King James has, special miracles were wrought through him. And the healing of the sick and the casting out of demons occurred in that way. That was through Paul. He had the ability to heal sick people, even raised the dead, Acts 29:10. Eutychus, a young man who was, he shouldn't have been here in the first place, but he was sitting in a window 3 stories up when Paul was preaching. And Paul's sermon went long, and he fell asleep. And when he fell asleep, he fell out of the window, and he fell 3 stories, and it killed him. When Paul didn't preach his funeral, Paul raised him from the dead. And they were not a little comforted, the Bible says. I'm sure that's true. Can you imagine how horrible it would have been for Eutychus to have been You know, the last memory they had of Paul was, well, that was a good night we had, but that's when Eutychus died. That would have been really, really sad. But Paul raised him from the dead. So what are we saying? We're saying that Paul had the ability to heal the sick. Here is his own friend and traveling companion, co-worker, fellow minister, in camp with him who is sick, and Paul doesn't do anything for him. Why is that? Well, let's establish two things. First, Paul had the ability to do it. If he could raise a dead man, he surely could have healed whatever was wrong with Trophimus. Two, he would have done it because it was his friend. Any of us would help a friend who was sick if we had the opportunity and the ability to do so. So it was not a lack of compassion. It was not a lack of ability. So what was it? It was a lack of permission. Miracles were not for the purpose of healing every sick Christian. Even when Jesus was on earth, he didn't open a hospital and heal every person who was sick. He healed a lot, but that wasn't his primary purpose. What's the purpose of miracles? Mark 16 through 20, when the great commission Jesus gave the apostles, he says at the end of that, specifically to that generation, that the word would be confirmed by their ability to work miracles. Here these apostles are going out into all the world, and they go into an island or a country, a continent where the gospel has never gone before. Nobody knows them by face. No one's heard of Jesus Christ. And they come in preaching this new doctrine, and the people are, well, I don't know if we can trust you. How do we know if we can believe you or not? And Paul or Peter or Bartholomew or Thomas or whomever could say, this guy here, he's a cripple. Appreciate you coming here today. Would you like to be better? You know I would. Walked over and healed him. What is the audience going to know about the speaker if he has the ability to heal a crippled man? They're going to know this is the mighty power of God. Therefore, the message was confirmed. So you could put Mark 16, 20 and Hebrews 2, verse 3 as the purpose of miracles. Hebrews 2, 3 says that the word had been confirmed. So by the time Hebrews was written, the word had been confirmed. Miracles were not to continue all the way through the Christian age. 1 Corinthians 13, 8 through 10. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So when the Bible was completed, now how do you know if a preacher is preaching the truth, whether you've ever met him or not? Not his ability to heal a crippled. You open up your Bible and say, what verse was that you were talking about? And then you read it in your own Bible. And then you flip and read the next one. And you take what you know about the Bible and you listen carefully to what he says. If it is in harmony with it, then he's a true teacher. If it's not what the Bible says, then he is to be rejected. Miracles are not needed because the word has been completed. Now, there were sick people in the sick Christians in the first century. You can go back through that same list I gave a few minutes ago. Lazarus, Dorcas, Epaphroditus, Paul, Timothy. That's just a sampling. If you wanted to go through the scriptures, you can find a lot more sick people. But that just shows that it was never the purpose of miracles to heal all that were sick. Sickness has another purpose. And depending on how our lessons go this hour and next hour, we may probably will talk tonight about why am I sick, Lord? You know, what are the purposes? Well, why do we get sick? So we'll save that for them. Number three, sickness may come at the worst time. You think about Trophimus and Paul. Paul talks about that in Philippians, in 2 Timothy 4. He said, Demas hath forsaken me, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Tychicus have I sent to, was it Ephesus, wherever. So he said, everybody's left me, or they've been sent on errands except Luke is with me. And Timothy, come as soon as you can, and bring John Mark with you. So Paul needed his helpers. Here is Paul on the missionary journey. Now, we don't really know when this happened. The Bible doesn't record when Paul was in Miletum with Trophimus and left him there. It does record when Paul and Trophimus were in Miletus in Acts 20. Acts 20 verse 4 says that Trophimus was on the trip with Paul. He's still with Paul in Acts 21, so he definitely was with Paul when Paul called for the elders of the Ephesus Church of Christ to come out to Miletus. Miletus is an island off the coast of Asia Minor, and Ephesus is a port city, so it was close by. He said, I'm going to be coming through there. I'd like to meet with you. Could you come out to Miletus? And they did. And so Trophimus was there. But he didn't stay there that time, because the next chapter says that he was in Jerusalem and he was the reason that the Jews accused Paul of bringing a Gentile into the temple. So that was one time they were there together, but there must have been another time. Most, from what I can tell reading, most scholars believe that this occurred between Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. Then he was released, and then he got arrested again. But between those two, he made a trip, and it must have been on that trip. But whatever the circumstances, Trophimus was with Paul on a mission trip, and he was helping him. And him not being able to work made Paul's journey more difficult. He had to do not only what he had been doing, but he or somebody had to take up the slack of what Trophimus had been doing. I mean, you think about all the things that traveling companion could do. Trophimus, I'm going to finish this Bible study. Would you mind going ahead and getting everything packed up so we can head out as soon as possible? Or would you go on to the next city and see if you could find some lodging for us for tonight or for a few nights? Or would you go down to the port and see if you could find a ship that we can get on? And there would be a lot of things, or maybe just carrying the luggage. I mean, there would be a lot of things that could be done by someone, and Trophimus was doing those things, but now he couldn't. Well, what's the point? Well, sometimes sickness comes in our lives at the worst possible times. You think about sometimes a young father or young mother with children at home gets cancer. Maybe it's terminal. And you think, well, that's awful. It would have been so much better if it had been before the children came along, so those children wouldn't have to go through this. Or after the children had graduated and gone on, it would have been a lot easier. They were able to do for themselves. But why now? The same thing is true in congregations. You think about sometimes you'll lose a preacher or an elder, and there may not be easy solutions for taking up the slack on that. It can be a Bible teacher, a missionary on the field that maybe has gotten the support raised and has got his feet on the ground, got an established congregation, and is just getting going, and then he gets sick and he can't work, maybe even passes away. Why does that happen? You know, you can't always say it's just going to be the people whose lives are mostly done who get sick. You know, those who are old that know that eventually they're going to leave this world, and sickness is normally a part of that. It can't be at those perfect times. Well, if I got to get sick, let me see. I think I would rather be sick this year and this time. We don't get to pick it. Trophimus got sick at a bad time. And that's the way it is in life. Sometimes you just have to work around, work through, pick up the slack for someone else, because sickness is not something that's written in our scripts when we want it to be. Number four, the Lord's work must go on regardless of sickness. This conversation is not recorded in the Bible, but I can almost guarantee you it took place. Paul goes to Timothy's tent. Timothy, you up? Oh, I feel awful. What's wrong? I don't know. And give some symptoms. Well, I guess we'll wait a day. Let's wait, see if you feel better tomorrow. I got some things I need to do anyway. I'm going to follow up with these new converts. And next morning, Trophimus, I might have said Timothy, Trophimus, oh, I'm no better. may even be worse. Maybe that went on for 2 or 3 days. One morning, Trophimus, Paul, I'm not able to travel, but look, you got to go ahead and go. You can't wait for me to get better. I don't know how long it's going to be before I get. No, I don't want to leave you here, Trophimus. I mean, yeah, you're going to leave me. You got to. You've got to go finish this mission trip. I'll be all right. I'll get over this. Somebody help. That's not recorded in the Bible. But don't you know that's what happened? Because Trophimus was dedicated to the work that they were doing. And he wasn't going to be the cause of the work not being finished. And he was willing to sacrifice to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. And I thought about the circumstances that we're in right now. You know, the work of the Lord has been hindered this year because of the coronavirus, the pandemic, and all the things that have gone on. But at some point, the work of the Lord has got to go on, doesn't it? We can't just sit on the sidelines while people are dying lost and not get the gospel to them. Now, we may have to change our strategies. We might not be able to do exactly the same gospel meeting schedule we were going to do, or have face-to-face Bible studies with people that would endanger them physically speaking, but the work of the gospel has to go on. In fact, even more work needs to be done, because there are sick people that we need to minister to, and those who need to be encouraged spiritually who haven't been getting fed as they would have been otherwise because they haven't been able to be in the public services of the church. The work of the Lord has to go on even in a time of sickness. That's true in my personal life. You know, it's bad to be sick physically, but wouldn't you agree it's worse to be sick spiritually? And sometimes the one can contribute to the other. It can be that I get sick, but while I'm sick, I neglect my soul. I don't read my Bible. My prayer life slips. I don't have interaction with Christians. I don't worship God as I have in the past. And as Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians 11 about the Lord's Supper, they were misusing the Lord's Supper. For this cause many are sick among you, and some have died. So missing worship can lead to spiritual weakness and even spiritual death. So I have to make up for that. I have to worship where I am if that's all I can do. But those of us who have had to do that, and those of us who are still having to do it, will tell you immediately it's not the same. It's not as easy. It's difficult. But we have to do the best that we can. So the Lord's work must go on regardless. Let me illustrate it with this. Think of the flag bearer on the battlefield. He takes a hit. Perhaps with his last measure of strength, he hands the flag to the nearest soldier, even as he falls on the battlefield, because the flag can't go down. I may fall on the battlefield of the Lord, but the flag can't go down. It's got to continue. It's the cause of Christ goes on. Let's think about this one. This is really the other side of that coin I was just talking about. Number 5, a sick person should not feel guilty for not doing what he or she once did. I think about Trophimus. The Bible doesn't say what was going on in Trophimus's mind. In Acts 21, when he was, when Paul was arrested, and when they arrested Paul, they pointed to Trophimus and they said, "He's a Gentile," and Paul took him into the temple. Acts 21, I think it's about verse 27. Paul hadn't done that. They supposed he had done it, but he hadn't. But it didn't matter if it was true or not. They acted as if it were true, and they arrested Paul, and they almost killed him until he was rescued by the Roman soldiers. And there's Trophimus. wait a minute, I didn't go into the temple. Nobody would listen to him. Paul's nearly dead, and Trophimus is over there. I didn't do it. Paul's arrested, put in prison. They didn't let him go. And there's Trophimus thinking, this is all because of me. I should not have made this trip with Paul. I don't know if he thought that, but I could see that we might think that if we were in that circumstance. So now what about Trophimus on his sickbed? And he's thinking, I've done it again. Paul was counting on me, and I got sick. Why did I keep letting him down? I need to be with him. I need to do my work. Sometimes we're going to feel that way. Maybe we sign on for responsibility in the church to do for the Lord, but then circumstances change. Sickness comes. Terminal illness comes. We may say, I can't do it anymore. My heart's in it, but my body won't let me. That's true with even worshiping God, isn't it? It will be unlikely that any of us will be able to attend worship the Sunday before we die. If we die an untimely death in an accident, we probably will. But if we go through the natural process of life, very few people are strong enough and mentally alert enough to worship God the same week that they leave this world. And for many people, that is a process of downward spiral, isn't it? It's not just a week, even a month. Sometimes it may be years, and the mind may leave us before our body does, or vice versa. But you see the point. It is sometimes the case that we want to be in worship, but we just can't be there. Sometimes it is the case that we want to teach that class that I've taught so long, but my mind just won't let me do it. My body won't let me do it. I want to serve as a deacon or elder or song leader or whatever it is that I've done in the church, but I just can't do it. We can beat ourselves up because we can't do what we used to do, or we can recognize that we've done the best we can and God is pleased with us. God doesn't expect us to do what we can't do. And He's never condemned anybody for not doing what they could not do. And we should be encouraged by that. And we should also be careful not to be judgmental of others about that. You know, we don't always know the circumstances. We don't usually know the circumstances that others are dealing with. I mean, I could see myself saying, well, I saw Sister So-and-so at the Walmart this week, but she's not in church today. She just don't want to come. Who gave me the ability to make that judgment? Could I get sick between Thursday and Sunday? Could I get sick between Saturday afternoon when I'm at Walmart and Sunday morning when church? But yeah, any of us could get a stomach bug. What about mental illnesses? I will confess quickly, I don't know. I'm no expert in this field, but I know this much. We can have a good day, and then we can have a bad day. We're able to do so much, and then we can't get out of bed. I don't want to stand in judgment on a brother or sister in that circumstance. Now, is it the case that I might use my sickness as an excuse? Yes. And no doubt people do that. They can go here, there, and everywhere. But when it comes to Sunday morning, I can't go to church because dot, dot, dot. Well, I know God knows. So I need to be honest with myself and say, am I just making excuses? God doesn't accept excuses, but I also want to be careful to be fair with my brother. A sick person or sister, my sick person should not feel guilty for not doing what he or she once did. You can put these scriptures down. I forgot to mention, I mentioned Acts 21:27 with Trophimus, but Ecclesiastes 12:1-7 when the body gets weak and old, and he talks about that process. All right, let's move on and talk about number six. Trophimus is sick and should not be forgotten. There are people that criticize the Bible because 2 Timothy 4:20 is in it. They say that's beneath the dignity of the Bible for Paul to say that he left his friend at Miletus. Why is that in the Bible? Why does that help anybody? They also criticize the earlier verse that says, bring my cloak with you and books and parchments when you come. And they say, why is that in the Bible? Paul's traveling list or laundry list. We don't need that. Critics of the Bible are shallow-minded people. Someone who understands the Bible is written for practical living for God, get a whole lot out of those two verses I just mentioned. For instance, we've talked a whole lesson about 2 Timothy 4:20, about how it applies in the church today. Why are we talking about it? Because the Holy Spirit said, I want that in the Bible. Paul was in prison. He had already said his time was limited. He was about to die. He could have been focused just on himself. This is awful. I'm going to die. My work's half done. Just spiritual blinders. But Paul's sitting there and he's thinking, I wonder how Trophimus is. Boy, I hated to leave him. Now he writes to Timothy. Timothy's in Ephesus. Ephesus and Miletus are close. We already noticed the elders from Ephesus were called out to Miletus. It was close by. He didn't say, I want you to go by and check on Trophimus for me. But he didn't have to say it, did he? Timothy's a Christian. Timothy knows that Paul really wants to know how Trophimus is doing. And if it were possible on that hurried trip to Rome, come quickly, if it were possible to swing by Miletus and check on him, he would definitely do it. So he could get there and say, Paul, I went by and talked to Trophimus, and he's a whole lot better. He told me to send you his greetings. And boy, don't you know that would relieve that old man, Paul, in the prison? And if he couldn't go, there was a church full of folks at Ephesus, and Timothy would know which one to talk to. Well, this businessman is going to travel to Miletus this week. He goes every month. This is his time to go. Would you check on Trophimus while you're over there and bring a report back? Or send someone over there, some faithful brother. Would you go check on Trophimus? Paul left him over there and he's sick and we don't know how he's doing. Would that church deal with that? Absolutely. What about even if that were not possible? Guess who just got added to Timothy's prayer list? Trophimus. Is there any power in prayer? Oh, yeah. So, Trophimus is sick. He should not be forgotten. What's the lesson for us? There's not a family in here. This church is certainly not exempt from having sick folks in it. We're a body, and one part of the body cares for other parts of the body. You stub your toe, and what happens? Your hands, your whole body is sympathetic to the pain in your foot. You get something in your eye and your whole body is trying to help that one part of the body that's hurt. We got one member that's sick. What's the rest of the body doing? What can I do? How can I help? Here's some food. I'll take you to the doctor. When's your appointment? 1 John 4:7, that's what love is. We love others because we've been loved by God. Bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2. Be ye kind one to another, Ephesians 4:32. Jesus, what about doing good, Acts 10:38. That should be Matthew 25:34, which says that Jesus said at judgment, I was sick and you visited me. That's going to be brought up. All right, here's our last point. Trophimus is sick, and God included him in the Bible. When Paul was writing out this, he was guided by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit let Paul include it. Maybe told him to include it. So that every generation would have this sentence, these eight words. Because God is concerned for the sick too. The very fact that Trophimus is mentioned in this context in Scripture shows that God was concerned about him. And so God loves us even in our weak times. And God hears our prayers when we call when we're sick. Our time is up. We will be concluded with that lesson and pick up with maybe a parallel one tonight. We'll see how the day goes. But thank you for being in attendance this morning. We'll be dismissed for a brief break.